All right, we're live. Hello, dear starshines. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of the Lunchtime Chats. I beg your pardon that I was a few minutes late today. I was in microscope land, and I'm telling you, anytime I get on that microscope, looking at, you know, dialing it in, looking at things, time disappears and I get completely absorbed. So I apologize for that, guys. I was totally absorbed in the work there, but here we are. So for those of you who are new to the chats, my name is Christina. I'm an acceleration expert. That is a consciousness acceleration expert. And we are here to talk about those topics and issues that are significant for the starseeds, visionaries, and new paradigm way showers. I just kind of like changed the sequence of that. Anyway, we have capacities. We have abilities that are not necessarily embraced by our larger human family. Therefore, you know, we have very unique perspectives that are very rarely addressed in the media space. So I am here to give, to the best of my ability, a liberated perspective to those pieces that hang us up, that suck us in, perhaps, you know, bring us into a downward spiral. So I do everything I can to widen the scope of what we're looking at so we can put things into context and step forward in this changing world in an empowered way, in a centered way, a sovereign way. So welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. And of course, I sat down here without my phone. There was a message put forward by Dear Starshine. She just commented today. And thank you for your comment, darling, and your question, because that sent me down this really amazing rabbit hole. I got like a download about the nesting dolls and the workings of reality. Let me see where to begin. Well, maybe I can go ahead and grab my phone so I can read the questions straight up. It's just in the next room. It'll take me only a minute. So sorry, guys, but just give me 1 minute. Just give me 1 second. There we go. Okay. Okay, here we are. Hooking back up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. So let's say hi to you guys first before we dive in. Hello to Sister Starshine Sherry and Beverly. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Hey, Christina, darling. So good to see you. It's been a long time. Hope you're well, love. And Luna Rio, welcome, welcome. All right, so let me get that comment drawn up here. So where do I look for that comment? Here we go. it was about the astrology piece, but it was really interesting because it opened up a huge scope of nesting dolls. And one of the comments that was made before she got to the question was talking about the inversions, the inversions that happen in our reality. And that was the part that really, that I was getting all kinds of downloads about. Oh, okay. Here we go. All right. This is our dear sister Starshine creating momentum 777. All right, here we are. Okay. So, all right. It's okay that I post. Yes, yes, yes. So the beginning of this year, I attended your monthly astrology group meeting. That's our planetary encodement meeting done by Ray Ellen. I'm not drawn to astrology usually, but that time I felt called to it. And that was when your astrologer brought in the true sky astrology. According to that, my sign went from Pisces to Aquarius, and it made me think of how we'd been going from the Piscean to the Aquarian age. And a few years ago, I heard someone say that you'd think we'd go to Aries and that it seems backwards. But really, it's just another inversion. So that we perceive as forward, so what we perceive as forward, Pisces into Aries, is really backwards. So my question is, if that was inverted, then how and why, like that would be the effect, how and why would that be the effect of that? I understand if you don't get to this question. Okay. Yeah, thank you, dear sister Isabel. All right. So this is such a deeply encoded piece that she's talking about. It's a rabbit hole, actually. And it's one that we've been in conversation about for quite some time here at Light Body. So first, let me mention about Raelynn Sievert. She's our resident astrologer, and she's been doing astrology for many, many years, more than 50 years, I believe, and professionally. And she is also a very experienced spiritual seeker. She's done a lot of amazing things and worked with a lot of amazing people. And a lot of like the legendary names nowadays, she actually knew them way back when. You know what I mean? So she's been exposed to a lot and is very wise and quite a talented oracle. But so we have conversations about astrology all the time. That's kind of like how we got to be friends, is talking about astrology. And there's different kinds of astrologies. And when we start looking at the different ways of looking at astrology in the context of the multidimensional reality, where we're in nesting dolls of reality, creating our here and now, there's something very interesting gets revealed. So let me first just kind of like skim through the major nesting dolls so you guys have a clear understanding of what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about nesting dolls, imagine those Russian nesting dolls where every time you open a doll, there's another woman and then another woman and another woman. Now, I've seen these nesting dolls in other than people, but they're in their original Slavic Russian form, it's a woman. Okay. So we are enveloped inside of a galaxy. Our reality is enveloped inside of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. We'll say that that is one of the more outer nesting dolls. And each nesting doll has a keeper in charge of maintaining the integrity of the nesting doll, so to speak. So it's said that the Dzogchen is the keeper. Designated to have the responsibility of maintaining the integrity of consciousness of the Milky Way galaxy. Okay, and then inside of that is the all that is presence, and the designated keepers of the all that is presence is the Galactic Federation. Now, I know we've had a lot of conversations about the Galactic Federation, so love them or not, I'm just giving this of an example of the nesting dolls and how they're contributing to our here and now reality. And yes, there is a lot of discussion to be had about this particular model being more associated with the incepted reality, but this still applies. The basic premise of this still applies. So the inner nesting doll to the all that is consciousness is sound vibration. Sound and vibration, the keepers that hold this sound and vibration in integrity is the consciousness of Andromeda. Okay. And then, as we know, sound frequency creates shape and form. And that is the keepers of that particular nesting doll reality are the Sirians. And then you have the next nesting doll in, which is the 5D piece, which is the state of pure creation, the state of joy of being, of in like an endless, we'll call it the, we would relate to it as the flow state in the human consciousness. And that is kept and held in integrity by the Pleiadians, right? And this, that we have stories about light and dark Pleiadians. So this is not specifying which Pleiadians, just that Pleiadians and Pleiadians are the keepers of that nesting doll of consciousness. Okay, and then the next nesting doll, and this is the one where there's all this infiltration that we're talking about. It's not the only one, but there's a lot of easily spoken about infiltration on this inner nesting doll, that 4D consciousness. And that's linear time, that's collective field, so on and so forth. And the keepers, the beings that were designated the keepers of that nesting doll were the Anunnaki. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gives us, shows us a clue on why they were the ones in charge of re-educating humanity after the great cataclysm, about that, giving us stories to reconnect us back to source. They were the ones that were responsible for being the keepers of that. Okay. And then the next nesting doll in the 3D space is the keepers of that 3D space is us, the human species. Those of us who have biosuits, we are the ones who are the keepers of this three-dimensional realm. Now, granted, we are great, we are not great. There's a whole spectrum of kinds of humans, right? Yet all of us contribute to how this 3D experience goes, okay? So take that understanding and apply it to, say, the Anunnaki keepers of the 4D field, right? There's good, there's bad, there's malicious, there's benevolent, right? And then you have the Pleiadians, right? There's dark and light Pleiadians. So they are responsible for the keepers of that 5D field. So there's good, there's bad, there's twisted. Okay, you see what I mean? And that keeps going. Those nesting dolls keep going, even beyond the Milky Way galaxy nesting doll, but still. So, and then after the 3D is that 2D field, which is the telluric intelligence, atom cells, molecules, that level of intelligence. And then you, of course, have that 1D field, which is the core, which it takes you right back to source again, but it's the cosmic mother. So it's the Pachamama, Mother Earth, cosmic mother. So everything is, if you look at it that way, everything is, the inner is the outer and the outer is the inner. So the more inwards you go, the more towards expansion, space, universal, cosmic feeling, understanding, data sets you get, and the more out you go, the same way, the more cellular you become. So what's really cool, I mentioned I was late because I was lost in microscope land. What's really super cool about looking at things through a microscope, especially blood, it looks like you're looking into a cosmos. It really looks like a universe when you're looking at things on the cellular level. It's quite extraordinary. And I get extremely altered when I'm looking at blood, which is really kind of interesting. I wasn't expecting that, but, or I should say that was a highly unexpected side event. And so these nesting dolls, they resemble each other. There's the whole is in the single, and the single is in the whole. So when it comes to the teachings we have on this planet that tune us back into God, that tune us back into the divine, that tune us back into outer nesting dolls, right? When they're in integrity, when they are not inverted, the more we go into the nesting doll, the closer we get to ourselves, to creation, to creator, okay? But when we go into these nesting dolls and we become more, let's say, scattered, confused, We become maybe obsessed, all these other things start to happen that make us extremely invested in the outer. Those are the overlays within some of those nesting dolls are the inversions, are the switch ups, okay? The bait and switch. And you guys may notice this in different ways, especially in things like astrology and divination and stuff like this. It's like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I am for divination because, I mean, the universe is talking to us in every moment of every day. So it's very, very helpful to be able to shift your focus, your lens, to perceive everything as a divination process. So this isn't to speak against divination, but what I'm saying is that when there are distortions within the different mechanisms, it feeds to pull us out of ourselves rather than taking us closer to self. Okay. So with the astrology. Okay, before I go into the astrology, I have to talk about the distortion of the DNA dance. So our DNA dance is heavily distorted. And I was talking about the inner is the outer and the outer is the inner, right? So as our DNA became more and more distorted, it was as each distortion would take place, it would shift us from different nesting dolls. Okay, so the current distortion going on in humanity has shifted us to nesting dolls, versions of nesting dolls that are highly corrupted. So for example, the nesting doll that where the Galactic Federation are the keepers, the nesting doll where the Anunnaki is the keepers, the nesting doll where the Palladians are the keepers, right? Those are all a result of the distortions within our DNA. As our DNA dance wakes up, we wake up to the distortions within these nesting dolls and we start seeing things very differently. Okay. So for example, astrology is a great example, right? We have a DNA dance that's a certain bandwidth. And when we work with astrology, the tropical astrology particularly, you know, it works until, you know, it starts, it has its wisdom and its depth and its pieces that liberate us, but it only can go so far. And then we have a DNA dance activation and we become more mobile. We become more expansive in our consciousness. Then all of a sudden, something doesn't feel quite right about the tropical, right? It doesn't feel right. And then we recognize how there are specific pieces within that that don't feel right. And this is what your Starshine was alluding to, feeling like we should be going in a different direction of around the clock of the zodiac wheel, right? And that could absolutely be so. Oh my gosh, there's so many pieces to weave in here. Guys, slow it down. Okay, so the way things spin really do have an impact, again, on what kind of realities we experience. So a clockwise spin is going to have a particular kind of energy versus a counterclockwise spin, okay? So it is said that the Milky Way galaxy spins in a clockwise direction. So it spins in a clockwise direction, which means that in order to be in harmony with that version of the Milky Way, your energy centers should also be spinning in a clockwise direction. And then there's actually schools that study the energy centers. Many of them study them in the form of chakras, stuff like this. And they have various diagnostics that come with the data set of a chakra spinning in a counterclockwise spin versus a clockwise spin and then vice versa. Some say that they should all be doing it opposite. Some of them say they should all be doing clockwise. There's many different schools of thought around that. But the point is that the direction of spin has a lot to do with the realities, again, that we're experiencing. Now, when we are when our DNA dance is waking up, when our DNA dance is becoming expanded, we start to discover different kinds of spins within us. Some of them are clockwise, some of them are counterclockwise, and many of them are simultaneously going in opposite directions, right? I think many people probably had that experience. So as we expand consciousness, we are loosening up out of the different momentums that are keeping us in a particular reality. Okay. So DNA dance expands more and more and more. What the elemental realms are showing us is that we are all a universe unto ourselves. So depending on the frequency of your DNA dance, the different nesting dolls that compose your reality are different. So you could be walking in this realm next to somebody that is actually experiencing an entire different universal reality unfold in their here and now than you are, okay, than I am. So this is really important to keep in mind, because these inversions, as they reveal themselves, it's an amazing thing too for them to reveal themselves, because you can see more and more and more how each of these nesting dolls are influencing your perspective of this reality. Now, I know a lot of people knock the flat earthers a lot, because it's like, how can they say that? La, 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 la. Don't they know? Don't they? Da, da, da. But what I want to give credit to the flat earthers is that there are certain perspectives that they have that are quite right on to the multidimensional experience. Okay. So it's not an either or dance. It's an and. How do they both exist? How, you know, and actually it's not even both. It's more than that, because I'm of the perspective that this is this reality we're dreaming into being moment to moment to moment. So in that way, there really is no such thing as either of those two. Flat or round doesn't matter. But what's important is that what is making this experience? It's these nesting dolls. And how are these nesting dolls are arranged in our within us? It's via the DNA dance. Okay. So going back to this idea that, you know, we have a canopy above us that is getting decoded with our consciousness. One of the mechanisms of decoding the consciousness is astrology. So we use tropical astrology. That works for us until it doesn't. And then you have Vedic astrology, right? That opens you up to a whole nother way of looking at the rhythms of life and the cycles of life, so on and so forth. And that works until it doesn't. And then you have true sky astrology. And I feel like the true sky astrology really shows, whether you understand or not, whether I understand or not, doesn't really matter. What it's showing us is how contrived those other systems are. Everything is set up perfectly to certain rhythms. For example, tropical astrology, using the 12 signs of the zodiac, it's set up for the 12-12 rhythm. But then you have, you know, the true sky zodiac, which goes by 13. So now you have the 13-13 rhythm. Now, we have both of those rhythms already in existence for a very long time right in front of us. And that is the difference between the solar cycle and the lunar cycles. Okay. Now, remember, the moon goes by the cycles of 13. The solar cycles go by the rhythm of 12. These are our timekeeping overlays. And that's what this boils down to, is it's all about the way we keep time within our consciousness. And if we are in a mechanism of keeping time that is going at a different rhythm than the natural rhythm of the cosmos of our universe, our personal universe, then we are slightly out of step with ourselves, okay? Gregorian calendar is a great example. Every 4 years, we have to have an extra day to make up for the misalignment of our 12-month model. Now, the Mayans had it worked out really well. And I believe that was a 13 and 21 count. I can't remember that they had wheels within wheels. I can't remember the counts right now, but you know, they had a very unique way to maintain accuracy over vast number of years. And it was intended to be in rhythm with a particular nesting doll of reality. So the entire community went by that time, that way of timekeeping. So if you look at astrology as a form of keeping time, right, then you can start to see how these movements through the zodiac clock are actually on a spiritual level setting us to a different time than our natural rhythms, okay? because our natural rhythms don't necessarily align with the, for those of us who have an expanded, becoming a more full spectrum human DNA dance, the tropical model of astrology is not the kind that we can feel the distortion within the timekeeping mechanism. Thank you. That's the better way of saying it. Okay. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Wee Moon calendars. This is a calendar that uses lunar timekeeping, but has the months and days of the Gregorian calendar. And their new year begins on the equinox, the spring equinox. So there are people who have been waking up to these other rhythms and wanting to keep time according to those other rhythms for quite some time. The fact that it's happening en masse in the way that it is very, very encouraging to me, because many people woke up at the same time to the true sky astrology. And I'll take a second to describe that. For those of you who are new to this term, it's, you know, there, what it is that each region of the constellation that is kind of like described as being in Pisces or in Taurus, that means that stuff is in this, the alignments are in the sky in that constellation. But the tropical and Vedic ways of doing that is not necessarily, it's all cut up in a very even circle, like everything is 30 degrees, everything is very equal and measured out, but that's not actually how the constellations are in the sky. I think it was like Virgo, for example, takes up 45 degrees of our sky, and there's other constellations, and I can't remember which ones they are, that only take up 16 degrees of our sky. Rather than each constellation having an equal 30 degrees to them, a true sky is measured according to the actual degrees that that constellation takes up in our night sky. Okay, so astrology is a doorway into our Akashic field. Okay, so the tropical astrology and the distortions that we're seeing in that, because we're slightly off step to ourselves, you know, we are accessing our Akashic field in a slightly skewed way. So you can see how this would impact you. Many, many people access their Akasha in different ways. Astrology is one of many, many ways to access the Akashic field. So I feel like bringing True Sky in on a collective level is going to clear up a lot which obfuscates people's access to their own Akashic records, to their own soul memories, to even accessing more clearer or more cleanly what we perceive to be as past lives, you know, and past spiritual connections with different angelic realms, with different timelines, parallel realities, all this stuff. It's like, it feels like the distortion in the DNA dance that robbed us of maintaining our memories from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. We see the true here and now expression of that in the distortion of the astrology, right? In the distortion of the archetypes. In the, you know, all these different layers of distortions. So as our DNA dance wakes up and finds its natural rhythm to the, well, just for lack of a better way of saying it, organic reality, organic cosmic force, then we can see these constructs and how they're distorted so much more easily. And we are liberated from those distortions. We do not, because it's so obvious, we just skip right over that part and go into it's easier for us to dive into the records of our Akasha. It's easier for us to dive into the dream time. It's easier for us to tap directly into the infinite nature within us. Okay. So, and this is why a lot of people disagree about the integrity of the Galactic Federation. It's all about DNA activation. How Integral is your DNA activated in dancing? How full spectrum is it dancing? And as it dances in its natural rhythm, are you aligned with their agenda or are you not? A lot of people are waking up to the reality that they are not. They're not aligned to that agenda. And then you think, and then you wonder why. And then there's a whole argument about one being right or the other being wrong. And none of that's true. It's all about, you know, consciousness. Everything's about consciousness always. So, and if you look closely, as your DNA dance gets activated more and more and more, and you're having more access to profound experiences in dream time, and you're having more access to the connection between what's behind the veil and what's in your here and now, you're having more exospecies contact, you're having, you know, all these other things are going on in your life, and they're completely changing how you relate to reality completely. That DNA dance gets moving more freely, and then you go into a distorted space like the disclosure movement. How many people have done that and be like, whoa, this is completely bass-ackwards, you know? Okay, and that's because, you know, our government and other world governments are in alignment with the Galactic Federation agenda, right? Or what they're calling a Galactic Federation agenda. We don't need to have any cognitive knowledge of any of those things. We can just tell because of our DNA dance being activated and dancing freely, we can just tell that that stuff is just fucked up, right? We can just tell. We don't need to have the information or the backstory. It feels yucky because it's confining. It's taking our DNA dance and trying to put it into a different rhythm. Okay. This is why listening to your inner rhythms, focusing on your inner rhythms, one of the many reasons why it's so, so empowering to do that as a grounding and centering practice. Focus, paying attention to the rhythms inside of this bio suit. Absolutely priceless. There's so much advantage to doing this. And here I'm going to add in another piece just to keep blowing your guys's ideas to make it more and more expanded. Many years ago, I would say, let's see, it's 2024. So 12 years ago, I was having a conversation with Drumblow Melchizedek. And we were in Sedona, Arizona, and he was doing one of his first Awaken Heart workshops in the new way. So he was made famous through the Flower of Life work and all the stuff and activating Merkaba, but he woke up and realized that that was not a natural configuration. So he decided he wanted to go into how to make one that's organic, you know, have someone go through a process that's organic. Anyway, so in this conversation, it was really cool because he would take on the side questions from people, you know, which was really great for him to make himself available like that. But in this conversation, he was saying that, you know, the realm within which your consciousness is exploring itself, there's a lot of signs and signals to think of it like a frequency map to designate what realm you're unfolding in. And the example he gave was the Fibonacci spiral. If the Fibonacci spiral is in resonance with you, as in the ratio of 1 plus 2 is 3, 3 plus 2 is 5, you see what I mean? Like that particular ratio, that progression, is what we call the Fibonacci spiral. It creates this perfect ideal ratio of a spiral that's very pleasing to the eye. It's like a lot of people use this in graphic design and arts and stuff like that. But he said that that is only one ratio of spiral that is possible, and that there are 6 other ratios of a spiral he knows about. And depending on what ratio of spiral your DNA dance is resonating with, that indicates what universe you are unfolding your consciousness within. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm answering this question and not at the same time. I'm answering it, but in a much bigger context here. So I knew it was important what he was saying there. I didn't quite understand it completely at the time, because other things really had my focus to digest and process. But I've revisited that conversation many times in my mind. And as I was ready to understand it deeper, deeper, and deeper, you know, it would come back. And given what I said in the very beginning about the nesting dolls, right? The outer nesting doll being the Milky Way, the inner nesting doll being the all that is consciousness, and the keepers of that particular integrity of consciousness is the Galactic Federation. And then you have another nesting doll, keepers are Andromeda, the consciousness of the Andromeda. And then next level of keepers, the Palladians, which could be light or dark. We know this for sure in our stories, in our mythology. Then you have the Anunnaki, keepers of the 4D field, light or dark, right? We have that in our mythology. Then you have the humans that are keeper of this 3D field. And man, that's light or dark, right? So it is the idea that I want to convey here to you guys is that that particular model with those particular keepers, right? Those nesting dolls with those keepers, I'm suggesting to you, what if that is actually the distorted reality? And that there is another rhythm, version of universe where you are liberated and sovereign and have the authority, complete authority in that universe, in that reality. Okay. So when you have devices that tune your energy to the Fibonacci sequence, that may or may not be what you want. Okay. Do you want to deepen more of your being into this reality where it has all these hijacked nesting dolls? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe there's more. Maybe there's more nesting dolls that give you the sense of freedom and liberation that are fine with you. Okay. The other thing is, oh boy, I don't even know how to say this. So we're talk about artificial, right? What does that mean exactly? For some people, that means technical. For some people, that means infiltrated, as in there was a natural plan for this garden to grow and beings incepted their ideas that were opposite of the original intent. Some people call that artificial. Okay, so you have to get clear on what the meaning of artificial is for you specifically. And if you guys have something you want to share in the comments, I invite you to. What is your definition of artificial? Does artificial just mean technical, or does artificial mean an outside force coming in and incepting their will, their intent, their agenda into the momentum of a already established plan that was, we'll just say, life affirming, right? Guys, please, this is a very deep conversation because the idea that's downloaded into my brain right now is pretty much saying that we have signs right in front of us telling us that our reality is deeply incepted. When I say our reality, I'm talking about the original blueprint planned for the unfoldment evolution of consciousness as Pachamama. Right? The dream of the mother. And the sign of the inception of this is, oh goodness, are right in our face. One of them being the Sphinx. Another one being the rest of the Giza Plateau. What do I mean by that? There is a field. So the Sphinx, right? In order for us to understand what the Sphinx is, we have to have our galactic history, the real galactic history, well, whatever that means. You know, we have to have a sense of what galactic history is. And there is many theories about the Sphinx, one of them being that that Sphinx did not originally have that particular deity's head, Anunnaki's head. It originally had a lion head. And that spot that structure is built on is a central energy point, like a central meridian point, acupuncture point on the planet, which means the intent, the energy, the geometry, everything about the dynamics of that structure influences all life. Okay, influences all life. Thank you, Luna Rio, for chiming in. Okay, on a subconscious level. And then another force came and put an Anunnaki face on it, right? So that dynamic right there is a portal into sorting out the infiltration going on that's shutting down the DNA dance. Okay, because there have been many, many seedings on this planet. This is, of course, just the most recent one. And the Vedic scriptures talk about this. They talk about root races, the rise and fall of different root races. And there were races of other humanoid type beings long before this version came about. Okay. So what I'm saying here is that, reality is not what we think it is, number one. And I cannot say that enough. But two, it's so highly malleable. It's so highly malleable that we really are the navigators of our reality. How is this? And it doesn't matter about these control systems that are in place, like all these different, structures like government and military and education and food. I mean, we have all these stories and narratives that stress us out because we're facing end of the world, we're facing financial collapse, we're facing this, we're facing that, we're facing this, we're facing that, right? All of that is meant to keep us in a distorted space so our DNA dance cannot unfurl into its full spectrum, okay? All of that, that's what it's for. It's not actually the truth that, all this is going to happen in the next few weeks, right? Because quite honestly, guys, I don't know about you guys, but I've been around for quite some time, and the apocalypse threat has been in the collective field for decades upon decades, many, many decades, right? And the alien invasion narrative has been around for more than 50 years. Right, the whole financial collapse, the whole system's going to collapse. That's been around for at least, in my memory, 30 years. The whole nuclear proliferation thing that has been around for, again, since World War II. That's in the 40s, and then so all these narratives have been pressing on the collective for many, many decades. Okay. And the fact is, the controllers don't want the fall. All right. Right now, a new one that's propped up that is relatively new is the whole, can't remember the term for it, but it's the whole idea that they want to reduce the population on this planet. Right. But who does that? And hold on, I'm getting a whole other download about that. So, yes, there might be an intent and a desire, but it's not just the controllers that have that desire. Most of the public has that desire too because of the ecosystem, the environmental narrative, right? So all the that environmental narrative has been going on for more than 30 years as well. By according to their clock, we should have been out of fresh air, fresh food, and fresh water 2 decades ago. Okay. So what I'm saying is that these narratives are put in place on purpose to keep us in a certain bandwidth of consciousness so our DNA dance does not unfurl. Because when it does, we see the control systems for what they are, and we all of a sudden really understand that we have different choices than the ones laid out in front of us. Because they always want you to pick door number one, door number two, door number one, door number two. But when your DNA dance becomes unfurled, your perspective changes and you realize, oh, there's a door number three, oh, and another number four, and a number five, and a number six. Like, oh, those two choices of this or that, that's not at all what the choices are because you see all these other options. And this is how they trick us into staying limited, that we think we have to choose one or the other, right? Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, blah, 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 blah. It just keeps going and going and going. And the fact is, when someone gives me a choice of one or the other, that pretty much puts the seed in my head that there's another option they just don't know about. Right. And I'm going to take it upon myself to figure out what that option is. You know, I don't like ultimatums, this or that. That's a control system trying to leverage me into usurping my free will to choose the direction I truly want inside. Right. What my DNA dance, what my spirit, the direction my spirit wants to go. Now, unfortunately, when you follow your spirit in the direction that it wants to go, and you are kind of like thwarting all the rules of what you should and shouldn't be doing, you very often are revisiting the idea of dying over and over and over again. And it's scary at first. And there's times when you get past that and it gets a lot easier, but then all of a sudden the bar gets lifted a lot higher and the death threat, the threat of dying is like that much more real. The fact is, when we keep visiting that over and over again, that's just layers of our ego driver getting peeled away. We don't know it as that. But in my experience, having faced the feeling of dying over and over again, that's what I find that it is. And of course, there are moments where you have to change everything about your life in order to heal from something that's truly threatening your life in this bio suit. I mean, that is definitely an established path of initiation in this realm. Okay. All right. I'm going to chime in with some of the feedback was about the artificial question. What do you consider artificial? All right. So dear sister, do I have my readers? No, I don't. Been tuning into the fae realities as I may be able to perceive it with my senses. I feel energies of delight, excites my innocence. I have seen the sacred geometry of energies encircling fairies. Very interesting to take this in. Nothing artificial about this connection. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you were responding to my question. I misread. Loved where all of this went today. Thank you. Oh yeah. Thank you. Creating momentum. Yes. Cause it was your question that started this, your comment that started this. Okay. So you guys, I'm curious, what is it that you think is artificial? What is artificial to you? Because that's a buzzword that's going around everywhere around social media. Well, everywhere. I'm not on social media very often, believe it or not. I just go on real quickly. I don't let myself ever do it more than if an hour's time in the entire day. So I'll go in and check things quickly and then I bounce out because I think we can all agree it's a vortex that just sucks your focus and life force energy. So I do my best not to be on social media. But my impression is from the exposure I have had that these are buzzwords, this whole organic versus artificial. What does that mean exactly? When you say organic and artificial, to me, that's implying that artificial means technical. Artificial means something to do with either off-world or terrestrial influence, artificial intelligence, stuff like that. Okay, this is all right. So here we have one. Thank you, Creative Momentum. It says this could be anything that feels unnatural, feels off, and disconnecting for me. I like that definition myself because this is in that when you say feels off, in that implies to me that there is a sense of a natural movement, like a rhythm, right? In all of life, when you talk to, you guys won't ever get to talk to these guys because the last generations of these medicine people have come to, you know, they're ripening and they're not passing on their knowledge. They don't have anybody other than the Westerners they've had contact with to pass on their knowledge. But when you talk to a master, like a true master of this reality, they will tell you that all of reality is a rhythm. Everything is a rhythm. Without exception, everything has a rhythm, a beat. And this is really important to keep in mind because when you look at things that simply, you're able to frame things up in such a way where you are more apt to respect that feeling that you have about something being off. Because you can start looking at it as a rhythm, as a call and repeat, like an outward and an inward movement, creating a rhythm, right? And so when something goes out and it bounces back and is slightly askew, that would skew the sense of the rhythm. And if you choose something inside that is askew, you'll know it as soon as it leaves your system. As soon as you put it out there, it'll feel off. Like you've ever spoken words and then realized, oh, I don't know if that's true. It's like you don't even realize until it's spoken out loud that there's something off about that thought. There's something off about that story that your inside is buying into. It's very similar to that kind of thing. All right, so I have another comment. Thank you, Luna Rio. She says, "Well, I like with emotions. There are organic emotions like the death of a loved one leads to grief. There's artificial like Armageddon or war consciousness or financial crisis." Oh, that's interesting. Peace is the option no one wants to talk about. Yeah, see, that is a sign. That is a sign that this is an engineered narrative just for you, just for all of us, right? The fact that there's no one speaking up that wants peace, except for RFK. He's the only one that I've seen speaking for peace. And I don't really know what's going on in other realms, but that's the impression that he's the only one speaking for peace. So, this is something worth contemplating to get clear on the artificial versus organic. Because just because something is organic, I don't think that necessarily means that it's not artificial. I would really love to bounce that out into the community for you guys to sit with it and talk about it and unpack it. Because what happens is when things are skewed just the slightest little bit in the expanded spaces, it really changes the perception of things a lot. The slightest little skew will change the perspective a lot. And, you know, this is something that I know deep inside. I know this is a skewed way of understanding things. I just don't have better words to use. I just don't have them. So let's work together and see what else we can come up with. All right, so Creating Momentum says, in February, I took 12 days to restore natural rhythms by working on them energetically, but also reducing stimulants, no artificial light, etc. And ever since, what feels off has become even more apparent. Wow. Brilliant, Starshine. Brilliant. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Thank you. That's absolutely brilliant. So lucky you were able to take that much time off to do that. And I'm going to say added benefit to disconnecting from everything electronic, as in you are not around any fields, EMF at all, is that all of the different components that people are finding in the blood after the rollout resulting from the La Cucaracha dance. La Cucaracha dance ended up paving the way for a new dance called the Jibbity Jab, if you know what I mean. And this is why I'm even doing that live blood analysis stuff, is there are things that people are finding in the blood from everybody, not just those that like to do that particular dance. So the reason why I'm bringing that up, because I want to repeat to you guys, because I said this before, that when you spend time outside of all electrical fields, so you're not looking at artificial light, you're not around any EMF, all of those structures dissemble and your body eliminates them. Your body literally pees them out. So as long as you're drinking, you know, you're in the condition to detox on that level, your body will just pee them out and you get to start fresh. So just a little tidbit, there's a lot of evidence mounting that that works for all dynamics of the stuff that they're finding in the blood, not just the crystals, not just the bots, but all dynamics, all the building blocks that lead up to that. All right, Felicia says, artificial is taking sides over to create distress in all aspects of life. How can one not be motivated by wanting to win? It says to one, but I think that's a mistype. I'm going to have to sit with that. I don't know if I completely understand what you mean, dear. But I do understand as far as aversions and having to have an enemy of some sort. So here's something that we've been tossing around a lot in Light Body, and this came through one of our activations actually, is, you know, demonizing technology. Technology is not the bad guy. It's the way we use technology and the motivations behind why we create certain technologies. For example, technology is very, very helpful to keep us connected over long distances. It's very, very helpful because it actually allows people like me to have lifestyles where I'm not anchored in one place. I'm highly mobile because most of what I'm doing is online. Not everything, but most. And you know, it's technology that gives me that kind of freedom. So it's not that technology is bad. It's how we use it. Doom scrolling. I would say that's probably bad. Hence the name doom scrolling. That's a term brought up by the younger generations. That's where you're scrolling and scrolling for hours and hours. And when you're done, you feel like shit. You feel like crap and you haven't gotten anything done. And then you feel useless. And then it turns into this cycle of self-loathing and despair and helplessness. So, you know, it takes a lot of discipline to work with this kind of technology. It takes a lot of awareness of where's the line of health, for what's good for you versus not good for you. And of course that, I imagine, gets blurry from time to time. So just because something's technical, I would say, doesn't mean that it is evil or bad. It's our relationship to that technology. And this would also go for the interdimensional technology, the ancient technology. It's not just because it's technical, it's evil and malicious or nefarious. It's more of what is our relationship to that technology. For example, technology that creates scalar waves. Scalar waves are not good or bad inherently, but it's all about how they're used and the intent by which they're used, right? So I guess I'm just adding to the list on why it's in our interest to choose different wording, to find more descriptive, more accurate wording for these things. Alrighty. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. I'm going over. Well, I started late, but yeah, I'm going over. I don't want to keep you guys past your time. It's past the top of the hour. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, dear Starshine, for your comment, your question. That opened up this whole rabbit hole. We went all over the place. We went to a lot of places. Hopefully everything, it feels like most of what I said landed. Of course, there's some pieces to digest with this, but ultimately, you know, do you know this is all about the awakening or shutting down of the DNA dance. That's what this whole thing is about. So you are in charge of you, your choices, your intent, all of this determines how expanded, how full spectrum your DNA dance opens up to, you know. You are the one in charge of that and nobody else. So remember that. Remember that. You are the one who's in charge. You are the one in charge on what you focus on. You are the one in charge of how you spend your time. You are the one in charge of how you progress through this reality, managing a DNA dance activation opening. Okay, you are the one that's in charge of all of that. Nobody else can do it for you. Nobody else can get in the way of you doing it. Only you. All right, so thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. I want to invite you guys to check out our, we have a, let's see, it's a clearing. We have a group energy clearing coming up at the end of the month. I invite you guys to check that out. You can go to our website, lightbodyacademy.com, or you can check us out on the social media outlet. We will be posting the announcements for that. That is a group energy clearing done by Stacy Hernandez, which is our, she's one of our facilitators here. And pretty much what she does is that she tracks into the current energy and you guys as a group together unwind it from your system. So I invite you guys to check her out. She's awesome. Love what she does. And yeah, and that's it for me. Mwah. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. We'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.